At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Let's go!
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Binge Down TV. I am Paul, and with me today are Kyle and Dave, and we're talking about Rick and Morty, Season 5, Episode 7, Gotron Jerrysis Rickvangelion.
It was a mouthful.
I can't even tell you. That's like three different references, I feel like. But yet again, for me, the writers knocked it out of the park. Just an amazing storyline that I never, ever would have thought of in a million years. An episode with the entire family, which can hit or miss for some characters, but I thought everyone shined here at one point or another. A lot of Jerry, who crushed it.
Yes.
Who I feel like we weren't getting a whole lot of in Season 5. Luke, unfortunately, isn't here with us today, but he'll kill me if I don't go over the IMDb rating for this episode, as he always does. I'm shocked to say that this ep is rated, as the time we're looking at it right now, a 6.5 out of 10. Which blows me away. I think that's a very gross underestimation of how good the writing was in this episode.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of like really funny, not throwaway lines, but just like conversational lines that like weren't kind of built up to be jokes, but were just funny things that people were saying.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm looking at it and there's 1,800 votes, which is like significantly lower kind of than all the other episodes. So I guess we'll see where the actual rating settles out at. But yeah, 6.5 is shocking to me.
Yeah, we were actually talking about it a little bit before the pod, just like right before this. I was saying, I of course love the episode because of all the references and like, it just hits home for me. But I was reading some reviews and it was like, the episode itself is kind of all over the place. You have this like anime cartoon introduction with the Go-Go-Trons or whatever they're called. And then it's kind of like you get the Italian mob in the middle. And then towards the end, you get the whole like weird incest baby reference again. And like, it's just all over the place with his references. But for me, this was like when I was watching, I was like, this is easily my favorite episode of the season. And it is still.
Yeah, there's been a theme of each episode picking three random pop culture subjects and merging them and just hitting on references multiple times that episode. We've talked about it. And again, like this one between Scarface and Power Rangers or Autobots, whatever you want to call it. It was really good. I thought it killed it.
It's funny that you mentioned that you felt like the plot was all over the place. And I guess if I actually like sit down and now that we're having a conversation about the episode, I'm realizing that, yeah, there was a lot of shit going on. But for me watching the episode,
yeah,
it didn't feel, I mean, obviously it's hectic because it's a Rick and Morty episode, but it didn't feel like that to me.
I watched it two times before reading the reviews and it didn't feel like that to me. And then I read the reviews and I was like, okay, like, I guess they are right. And that's probably why the score was so bad. But again, I just love the fucking anime references. I love like the Voltron references. It was great. Yeah, it was amazing.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I will say I am a little bit upset because the portal gun was being used willy-nilly again. So if you've been following Binge Town, covering Rick and Morty, you'll know that Luke and myself especially have talked a lot about the portal gun theory and how hopefully there was a reason the portal gun wasn't being used in the early eps. But unfortunately, that theory pretty much is out the window right now. It's looking more and more like the writers didn't include it in the plot just because it would have been a solution to whatever the plot was. And that kind of bums me out a little bit. But even with that, I mean, this season has been absolutely killing it, and I've loved it. Okay, so with that rambling out of the way, let's get to you guys. What did you guys think? Kyle, I know this is your first ep covering Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah, welcome.
For Binge Town. So, yeah, let's welcome you. What have been your thoughts on this episode and Season 5 so far?
I would say I've been enjoying Season 5, but I actually had a conversation with my dad recently. It must have been last week. Watching what a Mordekin graffiti and or no, it was the Thanksgiving episode, which
fuck yeah.
I loved like the first whatever 15 minutes of that episode. I thought it was hilarious. And just kind of saying that, like, it's just at this point with Rick and Morty, like, I feel like I have such a great memory and like vision in my head of the beginning seasons. It's hard to like watch the fifth season and compare it to the first two seasons. So I've been trying to like adjust my expectations and my mindset. And with that in mind, I've been enjoying the season. I really liked this episode. I think this was the best episode of the season.
It's close. It's this and then for me, the turkey one. That like last week's was just so fucking funny.
The turkey one was so funny.
This one I liked more just purely because of the references, probably, because this one wasn't like, it was probably more serious, honestly. It's been like a more serious one, like the earlier episodes this season, but last week's was funnier, but this one overall I enjoyed more. Like I'm definitely gonna go back and rewatch this episode.
I think my favorite might be, you know, episode one of this
still,
season.
Wow, okay.
Just dude, it's so good with the time door and Morty going back. All right, Narnia, you want to go? Let's fucking go.
Yeah,
like, that's true. That might be the best individual plot line of the season.
Yeah, it's up there for me, definitely. I fucking loved Rick the Pen and Spray, the worst rated giant sperm episode. I fucking loved it.
So
I thought it was so funny, and like that is the episode that split Rick and Morty fans.
Yeah,
fan base. I feel like.
I mean, even if you look at the IMDb ratings for the whole season, like it's 8s for the first three, and then Rick the Pen and Spray happens, and then we're just like 7-6. Yeah. Is like that episode. People hit it, and we're like, you know what? I hate this season. Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
I thought it was funny too. I mean, I don't love the whole incest plot line, but I mean, for me, Rick and Morty has a pretty high floor. So,
if all the plot lines that we've been introduced to this season, why did it have to be giant incest baby? That's like the recurring one.
I love it.
I mean, it's good, but it's just like there are so many other plot lines we could have gotten into, but they're just like, nah, let's just stick with giant incest baby.
No, I love it because that is what infuriated people from episode 4. And of course, it's so ironic that is the one. So I'm getting too excited here. They use their energy to go online to write about how much they didn't like it. And of course, it pops up and is the solution to another episode. So I don't know. I don't know.
I respect the name of the baby.
Yeah,
that was funny. it was so funny hearing that word come out of Summer's mouth.
Yeah.
In a Rick and Morty episode. It like didn't sound
Narita. Yeah. It was really white. Let's get into it then.
Yeah, let's jump in. Of course, we start out with Boob World.
We have been hanging out for the past half hour-ish here, and I think all three of us have busted into Boob World singing at least 5 times.
It's a world meant for you, but it's actually 2. Boob World. God, it's good. I want to go so badly.
I know you. I was immediately thinking of Paul and how that would just be his glory hole forests. That would be your favorite place to be ever.
Oh my God. I would be Morty this episode, and I would pick Boob World over Gotron.
What girl would you pick to be your free admission ticket?
Peach, my cat. She comes to Boob World with me.
Fuck you, Em.
Yeah, and then we get now it's more of a boob empowerment thing. So that's why, you know, you bring a woman, get in free. That's freaking awesome. Summer's like, hey, what the fuck?
Pissed, of course. We do get a little bit of them roasting on Summer. That's been something we've been trying to discuss each episode, and it seems like they're back on the Summer hate train, at least in the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, it definitely flops this season a lot, it feels like, depending on Rick's mood, I guess.
Yeah, it really does.
I love how he just spots the Gotron ferret from, you know, literally space, and he knows right away. He's like, no way.
The last one of his collection, too. Mm-hmm. It's not even just a Gotron. It's the last one of his collection.
The blue one.
Yeah, the blue one.
I love how when he, like, discovers that the pilot is dead, immediately, Boob World's canceled.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. Like, I don't give a fuck. He does give Morty a little bit of a chance to try to go to Boob World, but he's obviously just fucking with Morty. He's like, yeah, I gave you a chance to break my fucking heart.
That was so good. Let's go, Summer.
Although, actually, I really want to say real quick, which I should have said at the beginning, is some of like the real subtle side plots, like with the earworm thing and the fucking at the very end when you find out the monsters, like those were like some of the best twists I thought in Rick and Morty, to be honest.
I really liked some of the post credit scenes this season too.
Oh yeah, I think this
post credit scene and then the clone one,
Jerry
with Jerry who's still alive and then like gets nailed to the cross and shit. Like, I cracked up at that one.
The one of them, the alien having sex with his dad. I think that one's my favorite. Like when he's just like,
that one's your favorite.
It's just so funny. He's just like, So mom's still mad at us?
Yeah.
Because we had sex? Yep.
Can't blame her.
It's so funny. But anyway, Paul, take it away.
Yeah, this is just where we get the beginning of the inner monologue. And Morty's like, wait, can you hear me? No, my inner monologue can hear you. Yeah. And I don't know. It was confusing, but, you know.
At first watch, it was confusing. Yeah.
Gets answered in the end here. Yeah. So I'm glad, you know, they had that.
I was watching with Luke for my second time, and I was like, I just like when they started doing it, I was looking at his face. He's just like, what is going on right now? And I'm just like, just wow.
Yeah, you got it. But you can hear Morty saying, like, you know, actually, they're both saying, like, this is the moment things started to change. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got my respect. At least that's what Summer's inner monologue is saying. Mm-hmm. Get the title sequence, which pop quiz. Don't look at their computers. I'm curious to see. Do you know if Rick and Morty has the ampersand or the word and? In the title,
it's the word and.
Damn.
Because when I do the titles for a Rick and Morty podcast, I make sure that it's like accurate. So I literally have to look up beforehand, is it Rick and Morty or the ampersand? And it's and with the word.
I had that thought and I quizzed myself and I was like, it's got to be ampersand. Looked it up. I was like, damn it.
Yep. Yeah, nope.
I love me a nice ampersand. So that's why I would notice that it wasn't there.
Yeah, gotcha.
I got yelled at a lot in grad school for using ampersands.
Oversaturation of ampersands.
Shameless plug, I guess, it is that I have an education. But
it is the key to note-taking. Like,
please stop doing that.
It's the key to note-taking. It's just, those, why not just do that instead of three letters, you know?
So Beth and Jerry, they're eating when Rick, Morty, and Summer come in robo suits. And they're like, hey, let's get in these robo ferrets and like get out of here. There's a giant monster waiting for us. And Jerry's like, well, I have a chiropractor appointment. Beth just isn't excited. You're like, what are you dragging us into? And Summer freaks out. This was a big Summer episode. She's like, whoa, like your family's asking you to do something fun. When did that stop becoming a parent's wettest dream? I guess about the time we launched a giant incest baby into space, which I was hyped to get the callback. This was right in the beginning, so it was cool to have like a little bit of connection to the earlier episodes. I love when they do that. Oh my God, giant incest baby. You might be a clone, and you guys failed to abort me. Guess what, guys? You get what family you get, and you don't be upset. Now, go get your asses in giant robot spacesuits. Like, Rick's just like, whoa, like, I'm so proud of you. This good job, like, summer camp.
This is a sentence I never thought I would like say on a podcast, but we're talking about Rick and Morty, so anything kind of goes. I just love the fact that they don't let it die that they wanted to abort Summer.
Yeah.
That like just running, it's kind of a joke. Sometimes it's serious. Like, I just love that that still becomes a thing. Jerry has a joke later where he's like,
exactly.
He's like, who's on the Supreme Court? Like, or whatever. Like, who are the politicians in our state? Like, it's been a long time since I've had to worry about this.
Been a long time.
I thought that was so funny. Yeah. And this, Paul talked about this. And speaking of like second watches, realizing things that were going to come later on, this scene, when I first watched it, didn't think anything of it. Thought Summer was just being whack, like, wanted to have fun. And then the same thing with the voiceover thing when she makes the comment like, no, that would be telepathy, you idiot. And I was thinking like, because that was my first thought, like, what the hell's going on? And then now the second watch, they dropped so many like obvious hints.
Right.
That I just, you missed, I was it. Never going to pick that up.
That's why rewatching the second. That's why I watched it. And then the next day with Luke was like, we have to watch this episode. Yeah. Like, this is such a good episode.
I think I laughed harder the second time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely hard to take notes. We said this last episode. It's impossible to take notes because there's so many jokes just in like a 1 minute span that it's impossible to type them all and keep them track. Yeah. Like, you got to pause it. I guess that's the reason why I kind of have maybe more of an appreciation for this episode than most people do, because, you know, we actually do have to like dissect pretty much every bit of it. Yeah. So, you know, we can appreciate how much work goes into it. But we hear another voiceover, and this is where Morty, his voiceover, is asking Summer's voiceover, like, what the hell's going on? Is that the voiceover? Is that like a reference to somebody? It seems like an old like cop detective film or shows. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's just,
I think that's what it's supposed to be, is like that, exactly that.
I didn't know.
Then
if it was,
it ties into like the mob boss kind of scene. Or, okay. Like, the mob scene.
I gotcha. So yeah, I mean, go team Gotron. This is in the title sequence. We see the tubes come out. This is where the tubes come out.
That title sequence little spot intrigued me from the first time I saw it, and I'm so glad that it hit so well.
It's weird.
I did not imagine it was going to be like this.
It's weird because some little clips you don't get, they just throw in there, and some like you do. And
the noob one, we're still waiting on it.
True.
Still waiting on
the
it.
Summer mailbox one's good. I like
that
one.
Yeah.
So they're like, where the hell are we going? Where are these tubes taking us? And Rick is nothing but smiles this entire time. He's so excited. This is all he's wanted to do forever. And he's like, each ferret is at a different location on Earth. So they all go to their own respective places. Jerry goes to a volcano. Summer's in the ocean. Beth is in an ice mountain. Morty's in a parking garage.
Yeah, just a normal ass
in like Ohio.
This was my first watch. The first time I cracked up, like laughed out loud. I just thought it was so funny seeing Morty's ferret. Like, hey, of course, Morty, classic, but just like kind of crawling out, like struggling to get out of the parking garage.
Yeah, every other ferret jetting up through the ocean water, like jumping off of this insane volcano, and Morty's slowly going through like the little garage opening.
If you had to pick a color of the ferrets, what would you go with?
Wild that you asked that, because Kyle just asked me that before pod.
That's funny. It's black than yellow for me personally.
I was going to say black and then blue, because black's the head. So, you know, you got to be on the
control. Yeah,
got
to be the head.
But blue is my favorite color. And, you know, that's the right leg. I got kicks. I kick with my right.
Yeah, I think I had to go black because it's the black exterior. Mm. It's also the head. And it has the purple interior.
Yeah,
so I think all three of that combined is
fresh.
It also jumps from a waterfall, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a nice location.
Yes, nice.
Jerry's like, hey, did I just monorail from my kitchen to Hawaii just to regroup in space? Summer's like, it's cool, Dad. Shut up. Just go with it. And they really do go with it, and they love it immediately. Yeah, you know, this is where he shoots a portal gun.
Beth literally says, this isn't not fun.
Yeah, she loves it. But this is where they shoot a portal gun, like I was talking about. It was cool how they did it. He puts the portal gun into the dashboard of the GoTron, and then it like shoots forward. That was sweet. But, you know, again, there goes that theory. There's a giant insect attacking, and immediately Rick says, everybody attack one at a time. Trust me, it'll tee something up awesome in a bit. I loved it.
It's perfect.
And obviously they all get their ass kicked. And he's like, oh man, there's only one way. Morph together. Okay, now we can knock it around a little bit. But trust me, we're still building to something. What do? Just hit buttons. We're too big to fail. I love that.
Yeah, I think this is Rick at his best. It's always funny when he's like angry and like talking shit to people. But when he's like genuinely excited and like having fun, I love that version of Rick.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, that is the whole premise of this episode pretty much, was, you know, Summer gets addicted to making Rick happy, and when Rick's like happy, you know, he's going crazy.
He's huffing laundry detergent and all that shit, whatever.
Jerry has the I can't believe I almost went to the chiropractor line. It was awesome. They get the energy sword.
The animation on it was fucking perfect.
Yeah,
it looks so sick. They like end in like the superhero pose.
Yeah,
when I was watching it, was like, okay, like this episode is gonna be sick.
Yep. That's why I'm happy that Luke has kept mentioning the fact that the animation has improved, like basically even episode by episode you can see it. And then so like last week when we were recording, he was talking about the animation. I was just sitting here like, I've already seen next week episode. Like, the animation's great. You're going to love it. But I just couldn't say anything. So I'm finally glad to be talking about it. But yeah, the animation here was unbelievable.
And Rick's all hyped about it too. You know, he gets out and he's all excited about all the different possibilities. And he's saying, you know, there are countless universes where I don't have the full collection and we can exploit the shit out of them. They do anything to get their hands on these. And Morty's reeling them in a little bit. You know, he's telling them, you become a little obsessed. You know, sometimes enough is enough. Summer's like, yo, what the hell's going on here? Like, will you find your shame? And he's like, I have more.
Yeah, it was so good. Morty. Morty has been through the most embarrassing situation that you could like ever possibly think of.
So bad.
And he just still jugs along, dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's even got like Morty mind blowers ones that he didn't even think of. I can even imagine. Summer's going in saying, Grandpa just gave everyone the high point of their lives, and now he has the ability to go higher, and you want to drag him down again? There's no vote here. This is not a democracy. This is a Rick public. Either you're in or you're out. And Beth's like, I'm in. I was always in. I was the first one in. And Jerry's like, I'm in. I'm in too. And, you know, they say, what are we doing? And Rick goes, hey, we're putting together a cookout. And like, that's it? I was prepared to blow someone.
Yeah, that was the line. That was the line of the episode, 100%.
Beth is like, Jerry, come on. What? I said prepared and someone.
It's just like the episode where Jerry has to kill Rick and he's like, I've thought about becoming a woman before or something like that. And they all just like look at him and it's like, what do you say?
Yeah, I've thought about having vagina. And then he just gets called Vagina Man.
It's the same exact thing. And I died at that. So, of course, I'm going to laugh at this. He's like, I'm prepared to blow someone.
Yeah. This was Rick like achieving his dream kind of in this episode. But Jerry was just, like you said earlier, in his bag. This was so good for Jerry to have this experience. I absolutely loved it for him.
Yeah. Rick and gives Summer a kiss on the forehead, and she like gives him one back on the cheek, and then immediately looks at Morty and pretty much like gives him the finger. And Morty's like shaking his head. He knows that she's going way over what she can handle, but you know she won't listen. So he's like, hey, she'll figure it out. So I honestly thought something was up with her. I was like, I thought this was like an imposter Summer for a little bit.
Really? Because she was that bitchy?
Yeah. Who was the Summer's friend who married Bird Person? I thought it was like her impersonating Summer.
Keep thinking Daphne, and that is just so far off.
Yeah, I kind of want to know now to see how far off Daphne is.
Tammy.
God.
Tammy. Okay, Daphne's not terrible.
It could have been worse. Could have been worse.
I'm a little disappointed that Tammy's kind of close to Daphne.
Also wanted to show, I did think of it. I didn't look it up. Just took me a bit.
Okay. I'll give you respect then. I'll give you respect.
Yeah.
Because you were on your computer a second, so I wasn't sure. You could be lying.
He definitely was.
Cut to the cookout, and it's a mix of all the five different families, including there. So, you know, four new families. And Morty couldn't talk to any of the other Mortys because he didn't get to go to Boo World. And this is the line, Dave, you were talking about where Morty's talking to the other Morty. Hey, did you go to the beach? The one with the boobs? No, the one with the sand. Of course the one with the boobs. It's Boo World.
He was so upset.
Yeah.
I love a Morty just talking with another Morty.
Yeah.
That's like a nice picture.
Just vibing. What is the gang?
The fuck. The Morty Town Locos.
Morty Town Locos. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So Morty also says that in the garage were the heads of each family and his Summer, unfortunately. So we get introduced to Big Fat Rick, who we learn has the same size face as all the other Ricks.
Wild.
He's a walking optical illusion. Ricardo Montoya, Hothead Rick, and Little Ricky Wrap It Up.
Yeah.
He was the goat. Rest in peace, dude.
I think he's an S tier Rick. He is one of my favorite Ricks.
Little Ricky Wrap It Up.
Yeah, he burned very bright very quickly.
Yes. I mean, first ones that come to mind are Little Rick, Pickle Rick, and honestly, Little Ricky Wrap It Up is
he's probably up there,
pulling
man.
It.
I just love it so much. Little Ricky Wrap It Up.
Who's always great at the end of a meeting.
Oh, yeah.
So funny, man.
So Summer says, we would like to help your families complete your collections. And all you hear is gabagool. Like, oh my God. In exchange for some concessions. Gabagalucha? Like they're making up their own shit. So they says, you know, he wants to bring them here to their universe to make modifications. That's the caveat. And Hothead Rick goes off on a tangent about how, you know, this is the same family that made a giant incest baby and the government shot into space. They shouldn't trust this family. He's like, fuck this, I'm out. He goes back to his car and there was a bomb attached to it. So they try to take him out. Rick and Summer, that is. He lives and he says, you know, you guys are going to pay for this. You know, Summer just hits the garage door, slowly goes down, straight face, back to business.
I love how he tries to insult Rick by calling him a level-headed fuck.
Yeah,
I didn't even catch that. Yeah, honestly,
he's like, you'll regret this, you level-headed fuck.
I didn't even catch that.
And then portal guns out. That's the first. No, that's the second portal.
Second portal. Yeah. So.
Everyone just looks wild. It was hysterical.
But of course, them knowing that hot-headed Rick was gonna throw a tantrum at the end of the meeting, they prepared. Who was the backup?
Yo-Yo Rick.
Yo-Yo Rick.
You don't want to fuck with Yo-Yo Rick. You got beef with Yo-Yo Rick?
He's A tier. I would say he's A tier.
He was funny. Yeah. That was Rick being sincere, kind of.
Yeah. He's lame, but I think he's cool because he owns it.
Like, yeah, he's got a point.
And that concludes it. And, you know, Little Ricky Wrap It Up. You know, he brings out the champagne.
Yeah, popping bottles, baby.
Sums it up in a sentence real quick.
I need me a friend like Little Ricky Wrap It Up.
I love how he's actually little, too.
Yeah, it's the best.
We got Quay and Paul.
Damn.
His fist.
God damn.
Whatever. So this shows the montage of them strangling the other Gotron owners, these anime characters, and get each family their own. And you know, they were saying if a giant monster attacks their planet, you know, they all go on alert. They formed five Gotrons, formed into a Gogotron, and if you were a giant monster, you were fucked.
Mm-hmm. The music and the animation, especially the music.
Yeah.
Fucking incredible.
You say those lines, and I just think of Uzumaki Khan.
the music.
The animation. This is like, yeah.
The music was so good. I was like bopping around watching it.
Dude, each episode has three or four different little tunes they make up, all in like different styles. It's so good.
For my money, this, like, however long it is, maybe like a minute or two montage, definitely one of the best of the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think
just
so.
Like pure animation, music, like all of it was great.
Just Gogotrons forming other Gogotrons. It's great.
You got Yo-Yo Rick taking out a Jerry who was just naked on a hotel bed.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes, I forgot about that.
Summer explaining, like, hey, if you got in Rick's way, I made sure you got out of his way.
Yes.
Yo-Yo Rick was there.
And fucking the cement, they put the fucking cement buckets
that
on,
was
the,
so
on the centipede.
That was so funny. Yeah, that was so funny. Because it's like all of them, they're using like really cool like Gogotron like gadgets, like a laser beam, the sword. And then you just got the classic, just like, we're going to attach like cement blocks to this thing and throw it in
the water. Classic Italian mob. He's going to sleep with the fishes.
Yeah, exactly. They were definitely sticking with that theme. That was really funny.
Hi, Geekscapists. The Geekscape Podfather, Jonathan here. In May, we lost one of our own. Longtime Geekscapist Christopher Ellis, who was a friend and a part of our geek community from the very beginning. Chris even met his wife, Sarah, through our podcast, and their 2015 wedding seemed like a giant Geekscape party. Chris's final weeks battling in the hospital shed light on a huge national problem. The COVID pandemic has almost completely depleted our national and local blood banks. These supplies are used by thousands of hospitals to provide life-saving treatments to patients or to buy enough time for loved ones just to say goodbye. So for the next month and beyond, we're going to do it big in Chris's memory and do some good in the process. We're throwing a blood drive. Visit www.aabb.org to find a donation center near you, or visit other blood and platelet donation centers like the Red Cross. And let's make things interesting. For the next month, take a selfie of yourself donating with the hashtag GeekscapeGives and tag your favorite Geekscape podcast. We'll pick some charitable Geekscapists to send prizes to, and the podcast that gets mentioned the most will also get some cool rewards. I should actually cancel the podcast that gets mentioned the least. Can I do that? Whatever. The point is, go out there and donate some blood, tag a selfie of yourself doing it with the hashtag GeekscapeGives, and get others to do the same. We couldn't save our friend Chris, but we can do a whole lot of good in his name. Geekscape forever!
Yeah, we also learned Summer got a promotion to the head of the right arm. Morty, me, I got the left foot of the left foot. I guess it's because it didn't have an asshole.
Yeah.
And Summer's like, well, they had one. And then Morty goes off on her. You know, he's like, I know it feels good when he likes you, but that doesn't mean you're good. And she tells Morty that she would love to help him, but only if he puts his family first. And Summer says she realizes that what Morty means is that if she really loved her family, she would give control back to Morty, but that won't happen.
Morty's, like we said, has been through a lot of embarrassing shit. And it's funny. I love seeing like moments of growth from Morty.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what people were saying. You know, episode 3 was this growing episode for Morty about like relationships and all this stuff, and then the next episode he's just completely hypnotized by a horse jacker. So they were like, well, he completely, you know, regressed back to being a 14-year-old.
And I said that in the last episode too, when he fucking shoots the Constitution and then he proceeds to destroy the monument in space. Granted, it was all blue wires, but like,
yeah.
That was really funny.
Yeah, like he's making these stupid mistakes again.
What are we calling this, turquoise or whatever?
Teal. And
I love that.
Okay, so back to this episode. Summer is just still reaming out Morty, saying, you know, okay, you're trash here now. Green Ferret 4 needs a wash, and you know, and go get some detergent. I just bought a box. Grandpa snorted it because you make him feel fenced in. And you just, it goes to Rick giving the universal, like, do you like the party? Like, Jester getting the finger over the nose.
You know, I can really picture Summer when you quote her.
Saying some bad things about you, Paul.
Sorry.
Make it 2 then.
Yeah, get 2 boxes.
Make it 4.
We also find out that they evacuated one of the planets that they saved, and they built a secret nightclub so no enemies could find them.
Amazing idea.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
A little swanky little nightclub.
Yeah.
Summer in the fucking low cut, like shimmering sequin dress or whatever.
She's looking good.
And Morty's fucking what, associate head of security or whatever it is.
Dude, and little Ricky Wrap-It-Up is the conductor for the band.
Dude, he's killing it. He's Mr. Universal over there. You can do it all.
Even when Drunk Rick comes out and is like, this guy, he's fucking with him.
He is. That is like one of the most fucked up we've ever seen him. Like just off another level, dude. It's crazy.
It was great though.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great seeing him that drunk,
dude. I love it when he's drunk. There's a scene coming up there where it's just classic Rick. But yeah, we learned Morty doesn't even have a ferret anymore. He's associate assistant head of security or something like that. We get the speech and he's absolutely sauced. He goes, "I got 90 ferrets, which means I need 10 more, and 4 of you get your own Gotron." And 20% get a Gotron because we're all going to have a Gotron.
Just no sense.
So fun. And this is after he called Summer our queef.
Yeah.
And he's like, this bitch right here. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was so good.
Yeah, this is when Morty realizes that Summer realizes that she's over her head. So, of course, you know, he walks out, gets kidnapped real quick by, you know, the rifle owners of the ferrets, the anime characters. Mm-hmm. You knew that was going to come back.
If you don't watch anime, you probably were like cringing so hard at the scene, even though it was like satire, just like making fun of like
super that exaggerated.
Yeah, exactly. But like you were probably, because it was a little weird, but like it's funny to us because like we understand the references. But yeah.
I loved it.
Your grandpa can't be anime. What your grandpa did is called appropriation. Not cool.
Yeah, her little end of sentence noises and shit were really good. I thought they were funny.
But they say, hey, they say, hey, look, Morty, you know, we know you know what's best. So you help us from the inside and we'll help take the robots back over. Shows Morty a briefcase full of boob bucks.
Oh, you got him now.
Dude, I thought he was going to go.
I thought he was going to do it.
1,000,000% taking it. I'm so proud of our Morty. He says, hey, you know, she may be an asshole, but my sister's still her sister. He somehow ends up grabbing the gun and shooting the driver.
That was an accident.
Yeah. I mean, didn't mean to. He was getting pointed at him. But we said this a bunch. Season one, Morty, if he got a gun pointed at him, he would start freaking out. Going,
Oh, jeez.
I'm like freaking out. This guy literally grabs it. He's like, hey, you want to fucking go? Gets out and he's limping back. And he's limping back just in time to see Hothead Rick destroy their own club with just one green-legged Gotron.
Yeah.
So I guess there was a head too, but he was like the Morty level. Seems like the green left leg is like the lowest of the ladder. I don't know why.
That's really funny. And that's a really good point. I think that you're right with that.
I don't know why. Yeah, but that's hysterical. And of course, the family's pissed off because, you know, that was Morty's job, head of security. How'd he even get in? Well, Morty, of course, fucking walked away.
He was like, I didn't do it so this could happen. Yeah. He's got a point. Like,
what the hell?
Well, they probably thought he was an inside man.
So we find out little Ricky Wrap-It-Up is dead, and that makes the family even more pissed. Jerry says, you know, go home and play video games before you hire people to break your knees.
he says before your mom and I.
Yeah.
Before your mom and I hire someone to break your knees. Goddamn.
And Beth, oh my God, I did not catch this the first time through. I caught it just barely the second time and cracked up. Beth goes, here's $16,000. We got it from Deep State when they paid us to step on that trailer park. It should cover groceries and lunch and stuff like that. I was fucking cracking up.
Yeah, that's such a timely joke. That was so good.
$16,000 to just destroy a trailer park.
Jerry has the line too before he threatens to break his kneecaps when he's like, Morty, we're not attractive strangers on a flight to Paris traveling alone to get over a breakup. So this is no time to be coy.
Yeah.
And that was like 100% a line that would have fit well in the episode where like the Hellspawn demons are like fueling themselves off his cringe. Yeah. Like that was that line would have fit so well in that episode.
Cringe.
Yeah, Jerry was killing it.
So we see Gotrons on Gotrons on Gotrons on Gotrons now. We see Rick's plan coming together. And Summer's kind of in charge of it all. Some Jerry walks. I was like, hi, Summer. My cockpit isn't getting Wi-Fi. And he eventually is like, dude, I'm not even your dad. Like, I'm a version of him. And she's like, well, fuck off. Well, fuck you. What? Give me your number. And you start to see
Summer's control and authority is slowly going out the window. He just runs away to another Jerry, grabs his hard hat, and like slouches over. You can't find him now.
I love that so much.
What a Jerry escape. That is so perfect.
Exactly. That's like in what is it, season one or two, when him and Beth go to the marriage counseling and his version
whatever the, is like a worm. Yeah, it's literally that to a T. Jerry. Yep. Yep.
We also get Beth. And Summer's like, hey, Beth, control your Jerry's. And we see that Beth isn't even like really listening to her anymore. She's trying to say like, hey, like you're fired, leave. You know, if I come back and you're still here, you're just fucked. And she walks away and Beth doesn't even care. So, you know, she's her authority's out the window. That gets confirmed here. Just go up to Rick's office. And when we first get a glimpse of just Rick completely on the sauce, going back and forth, saying, and the Gotrons will make the Gotrons, will make the Gotrons, which will make the Gotrons. Like, he's fucked, man. He's having way too much fun. And Summer is telling him about maybe the best action for our family is to recruit outside of the family. Way ahead of you, Summer. This is Kendra. She's from a temp agency. She has a workforce ready to go, and they all have pilot experience. So we're ahead of schedule. And Summer's like, you know, I don't know about that. It sounds a little risky, but Kendra does. She knows about it. Like, okay, Summer's done.
I want to say real quick though that redheaded character is based off a character from Neon Genesis Evangelion, or however you say that. So,
the name of the episode.
Yeah, that's what it's named after.
Yeah, so she is like one of the main characters, and actually, all the other Gotron drivers are based off, like loosely based off of like one of the series, because you got the slim main character, you got the big boy with the heart of gold, you got the slender woman too, so you know, it just fits all the character descriptions.
And if we're gonna bring up that anime, then I'll shout out our boy Billy McGuire.
Yeah,
Bill's Quality Seafood in Town Square. Sub Bill the goat.
Yeah, go find and kill him. Not only, you got his information, Billy McGuire, Newtown Square.
Dave's putting out a hit on a former coworker.
That's awesome. That's actually exactly what Jerry's doing right here. They talk about it. So Beth and Jerry walk in to Morty at home, and they're ready to talk shit on Summer because Summer just fired them. Jerry goes, should we clip her? Nah, she's not worth doing time. Like, her parents are talking about putting out a hit on her.
Jerry thought that I brought you into this world so I can take you out was like a legitimate legal thing. They would be well within their rights to kill their daughter or her son.
And she's like, what world do you live in? She was like, a world where I thought mother on daughter crime was not illegal.
Dude, he was just the best this episode. I said it like eight times so in this episode. I don't even fucking care at this
point. We need more of Jerry back.
I love Jerry. When Jerry moments hit, they're so fucking fun.
I agree. Those are probably whenever there's a great Jerry part, you know it's going to be a great episode.
Yeah, they're always funny, man.
And like I was saying in the intro, I feel like a good Jerry moment has been scarce this season, so it's definitely good.
Honestly, both parents, like, this was the most we've seen of Beth and Jerry partaking in like action all season. I feel like
Beth was definitely fifth on the totem pole in this episode, though.
Definitely.
Yeah, 100%
by far.
I mean, their biggest achievement this season was fucking having a three-way with Mr. Nimbus.
It was fun though.
Pretty good. Ruler of the ocean.
Yeah.
Controller of cops.
A lot worse.
So Morty's telling them, like, you know, give it a little bit. In a little bit of time, you won't even be mad anymore. You'll forget all about this. And Beth goes, nah, fuck her. She's my enemy. Jerry, with possibly the line of the episode. I fucking love this for some reason. The most Jerry plan ever. Should we kill ourselves so we can get to the hell before her and hide near the entrance?
Dude, that was so gold. That was so gold. Dude,
this like 2 minute, like minute scene in the living room, Jerry was just firing off, just straight fire.
Yeah, he's not done yet either. He keeps going. So like Summer comes in crying, saying Rick fired me. And of course, Jerry and Beth are like, oh,
they just
honey,
totally turn the tables.
Oh, you okay? And exactly what Morty said. So even Summer says, you know, Morty was right. I got addicted to making grandpa happy. Jerry or Beth says, that's only because your grandpa inflates the value of his happiness, which Jerry responds to, your mother is right. Look at me. It's easy to make me happy, which is why nobody gives a shit if I am.
Yeah. The perfect way to just sum up his entire existence in this show.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want Jerry to be happy, but I want him to make me laugh.
I do also want to say in this scene at the very beginning, Morty is sipping on a high C ecto cooler. So it is actually a limited edition drink from the original Ghostbusters when it aired. Wow. So, and it's actually the second time we've seen it.
I was going to say Dragon episode.
The Dragon episode when he's hoarding everything in the basement and talk about the Future album signed by Future. There's a high Ciecto cooler in there.
That's because hilarious. Because he hoards treasures.
So dude,
this could be that Future reference. That's so
Funny. It's one of the best references in the whole series. Yeah. But
Percocet. Molly Percocet.
But could be the new Szechuan sauce we're seeing here. The high Ciecto cooler could be the new Szechuan sauce.
He also does drink orange juice after he banged something, but he didn't bang anything, did he?
He drank orange juice in this episode, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he like has a glass at the nightclub.
Mm. Is that one of the ones I went to Boob World?
Nah, that was R. Morty.
Okay. I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, back to Summer. She's saying, you know, I appreciate all this, but there's something else too. Like, I've been really sensitive about family lately because of something I've been keeping a secret. Jerry, 2 for 2 in a row. Okay, here we go. Who's in the Supreme Court and what state do we live in? Boy, it's been years since I've thought about this. Obviously referring to Summer's failed abortion.
I just love this guy.
So Summer hits him with a long dialogue and we get a huge montage of everything that happened. She goes, no, I'm not pregnant. But as you guys know, Morty and I did accidentally create a giant incest baby and the government launched it into space. Well, I didn't tell you this, but the baby is still alive and I've been in contact with it.
This is like the third phase of this episode. Like we get the first phase of like the actual introductions of the Gotron. Then we get the whole like mob business. And now we get into like, that's why it got such a low review. It's like, where is like all this? How does this all tie together? Which, I mean, they obviously, it does tie together. It's an,
yeah, I feel like this explains how Summer was acting the entire episode.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I mean,
she explains. Explains the feeling. But go ahead, Paul. Sorry to cut you off.
There were soldiers outside of my school last month that took me to the Pentagon, briefed me, and then took me to a secret space station on Mars. They'd captured him and wanted to see if he would respond to her instinctively since I'm his mother, and he did. But what they didn't expect is that I would respond to it. They wanted me to discipline the baby to teach it to become the ultimate weapon, but I didn't. I taught it how to love, to believe in himself, and finally to escape. The government doesn't want anyone to know it happened, and it's only a matter of time before the story comes out and the family's all we have. Beth and Jerry have each other. Rick has Morty, so I'm the odd one out. I just wanted us to stick together, but instead I drove us apart and Rick replaced me with an anime chick, and all I'm left with is myself and a giant government chained up, tortured incest baby somewhere out in space. And after all of this, Jerry just goes, and then you have to wonder what the heck else the government does with our taxes.
That's a great dad joke right there.
Oh my God.
But that is, you're right. That summed up, Kyle, like everything that Beth not only has been through this season, but in all the seasons, like she's always, well, most of the time is the odd one out with their adventures and everything.
I mean, Summer is the thread that connects every act of the episode.
Yeah.
Summer's emotional state basically connects all of that stuff.
True.
Morty hits her. Wait, what did you just say? I just said a lot, Morty.
Yeah,
what,
a lot, Morty. Gosh.
Yeah, Morty explains that the anime chick with the big eyes that she was talking about is actually the big eyes and the plus signs for teeth. It's actually the people who want to kill Rick. And Morty realizes that, you know, we got to go save them. And the family's like, or fuck him, because he did just like ruin us all. And Morty's like, hey, guys, a great leader once told me that family is all we have. Of course, Summer.
Look at Morty being the adult in the room there.
Yeah.
Throwing away his petty arguments from earlier and just letting Summer have her moment.
I mean, you fucking hang out with Rick long enough.
Yeah.
You learn how to just kind of take the back seat, defer, and swallow your pride. Yeah. And just like sometimes accept bullshit. Morty has like the highest he has one of the highest tolerances for bullshit.
Definitely now, 100%. Yeah.
I love it when he goes off, when he flies off the handle.
Mm.
He with the classic of when he freaks out at Summer, when he's like, get all your shit, put it in a bag. That's Tiny Rick, isn't it?
That is Little Rick. Yeah.
No, that's Little Rick.
Tiny Rick, Little Rick.
Tiny Rick. TR, baby.
Oh, I said Little Rick.
Yeah, you did
earlier.
It's TR.
Idiot.
Okay. Yeah. And if we're speaking of Tiny Rick, then that's S tier. He's
up
there.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
What's up, TR?
Damn, that's
that was when Principal Vagina is telling him, like, I'm sorry, I gotta do this to you, TR.
Principal Vagina, no relation.
So we get the go-go-gotron forming up,
And Rick is all hyper. He's like, all we need is a giant monster. And no rest of his family. It's all anime characters. And Kendra's like, hey, my sensors are picking one up. It's you. So they get the robot, the Gotron, start punching itself. It's out of commission pretty much. And then they get all their weapons and they go to the head little hall and they get ready to, you know, try to take out Rick.
Dude, Rick's cockpit is fucking sick.
His what? His cockpit? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
So cool.
It's like a throne room.
Yeah. Not the throne room itself, but like that scene with Scarface, right? Like that was, yeah.
Get a load of my little me.
I like that.
Bang, bang, bang. And of course, you just get shot, right? She turns the corner and takes one shot and it hits him. And I don't know that was supposed to reference and be how cheesy it is, but I thought it was, and I thought it was hysterical.
It's also a sign, like, again, I hate to keep bringing it up, the weakness of Rick, too. It's just like, what's he been doing this fucking season? Like, he's just been getting his ass handed to him by... he just got his ass kicked by, like, a fucking anime chick.
Usually,
where are you at?
Usually when he goes on a bender and he's super drunk, he's, like, super strong and, like, unbeatable, but...
I was actually going to give him the benefit of the doubt, saying because he's wasted that's why it happened. But you're right, kind
remember
of.
When in Vindicators 2 or new, I guess yeah. Vindicators 3 he blacks out and takes
the Destroyer World
Ender.
World Ender
he takes out World Ender.
So you're right, so I was gonna give him the benefit of the doubt, but now it's like now I take it back.
So it looks like he's about to be done, but of course his family comes in and saves him. And it was funny, you know, the incest baby comes in and the one guy goes, oh, congrats, man, I can see the resemblance.
This is a guy with the heart of gold.
Yeah,
the heart of gold. Yep.
So they go to activate the energy sword because they're trying to take this baby out, which, you know, his name, which we find out right here, is amazing. And they pull out the energy sword and Morty's like, oh, man, like maybe we didn't think this through. Beth saying, like, they're not actually going to attack a giant space baby, are they? Summer hits her with the, I can't believe I'm the one to say this, but you need to watch more anime, Mom.
True.
Everyone needs to watch more anime.
Followed up by, whoa, easy there, Naruto.
Yeah, love that. I was creaming myself when we got that line. I was loving that.
And I don't know if they're saying, like, you know, Naruto is a giant incest baby himself or like making fun of anime fans, but.
He's not,
but I thought it was funny. I also love Naruto, just saying.
Naruto's parents are actually like sick, so I'm a little offended you didn't bring that up.
So the baby just swats the shit out of this mega Gotron. You really see how big this space baby is when it's like a toy in his hand.
Especially,
and this was supposed to be like a mega one.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, especially since we know that there have been like multiple Gotrons like being put into this thing, and those things are all huge, and then for it to not even compare to the size of this incest baby, aka Naruto, I guess we can call him that.
Yeah, we can give him a name.
Part of me likes it because of the reference, and then part of me hates it because now
if Naruto is
a thing, it will just be like an incest baby.
Yeah, exactly.
In the Rick and Morty universe.
And I'm sure there's a lot of Rick and Morty fans who don't watch anime, so now they're just gonna be like, oh, Naruto, like, do you mean giant incest baby? It's like, no.
Remember
I
when
like, there's a decent amount of that, too. I think it's a pretty easy crossover.
I'm wearing a Naruto shirt. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, you are. Oh, it is. And it's just Naruto.
Yeah, let's go. I didn't even wear it.
Remember, Kyle, you had the Naruto Rick and Morty shirt crossover
that actually
got put on Reddit, and you were getting so much shit from some of the comments.
Some people were just whacked. People were like, I hate crossover merch.
Yeah.
Like, dying on that hill. And I was like, go touch grass. Make a bread. Like, go get some water, bro. Like,
have you been like, touched by another human lately? Like,
god damn,
so funny.
I thought it was a good share. Rick is Jiraiya.
I love it.
Morty is Naruto.
I want it. I almost stole it from you.
People are just weird.
Dude, Kendra hits him with what's wrong with you people? You just have a giant incest space monster in your back pocket. Welcome to the Smith family.
Love that line.
Love that one too. Yeah. One last zip line, and I feel like that was definitely a reference to something, but
went way over my head.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I didn't.
It totally was. You know, they go save grandpa. Everything looks back to normal. Next day, Rick's saying Gotrons are stupid little kid shit and he doesn't fuck with them anymore. Meanwhile, it was the thing he cared about most in the world the day before. But, you know, the giant monsters are still out there running around and there's no Gotrons to stop them. So millions die every
day. And Jerry.
Yeah. And we see Beth, you know, gets the blast doors up. Of course, Jerry's outside.
I thought it was like the perfect way to wrap up this episode for Jerry.
Loved it.
What a Jerry episode. Wasn't meant to be a Jerry episode, I don't think, but it's a Jerry episode to me.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Morning and Summer, this, we get the end of this inner monologuing. You know, they start up, it starts going, and Rick just walks over, rips it out. Summer rips hers out, and Parasites are just saying, you know, this is when I knew we were toast. But, you know, Rick says, enough of this shit. Voice ovarians, yuck. Roll credits.
Genius.
Rick, obviously, whatever, that's not anything up his alley, like voiceover bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like cliche or whatever, but I enjoyed it throughout the episode. I thought it was like a nice aspect of the episode.
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
And what song's playing over the credits? Boob World. Boob World.
So good.
And yeah, all right, end credit scene. Giant bugs, military bugs in training. Bugs, look to your left. Now look to your right. Not one of you is coming back.
not a single one of you is making it out of here.
In the entire history of our program, not one has returned. All right, bring it in. Who are we? Normal-sized bugs. What do? Travel through interdimensional portals to reach tiny people. Why do we do it? To spread the cure for AIDS. I was not so expecting
good.
That.
So good.
Hey, Sarge. How do we know these people will understand us?
That was amazing.
I love that line, man.
I mean, do they even speak bugging knees?
And like, doesn't he go into the process of explaining, like, you'll lose your clothes too? Yeah. Like, we don't know why.
We're not saying that all this stuff will happen, but it could.
Guys, that's why we say it very loud. Guys, look, you'll be the same civil bugs on their side when you go through. It's not like interdimensional travel strips us of our clothes and makes us screaming monsters. Or maybe it does. Impossible to know. But all right, go, go, go. And they all jump through. The first guy goes through immediately, huge, no clothes. Shots start incoming, subtitles, because all we hear is giant screams. And he's going, ow, stop shooting. Okay, here it goes. One part lemon juice, four bay leaves, a pinch of salt.
If only it was that simple to cure AIDS.
Yeah. Boom, head explodes.
They still wouldn't let us do it.
No. That's, yeah.
No, they killed him because he got too close to giving out the...
Yeah, that's what they're doing with our tax money, Jerry.
Suppressing the cure for AIDS.
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
Who can say?
You know, they put it out there, freaking government.
Wow, can't believe IMDb gave it such a low rating.
I loved it.
We'll see. I mean, it's kind of early. There's only like 2,000 votes.
So, yeah, as every episode, we give our ratings. Dave, you want to go first?
I'm hovering between, just because, again, of the references and like me just loving the anime, the Voltron shit. I'm going to give it, now that I'm like, we've talked about the different plots being all over the place. Originally, before reading the reviews, I would have given it a 9. I think I'll drop it to an 8.5. But like,
because you let other people dictate your
opinion. But like, it also makes sense.
Sheep,
I guess.
Sheep. I
don't know. This is still like one of my all-time favorite episodes, to be honest. Like, this is definitely like rewatch central for me. Like, I will be going back and rewatching this episode without a doubt.
Okay.
I like this episode a lot. It's hard for me. A series-wide rating, when like thinking of every episode in Rick and Morty, it's probably an 8.5.
Yeah.
But on like a season 4 and 5 scale, it's probably like a 9.
Yeah,
9.5.
If you're waiting every week for an episode.
Yeah.
And you get one like this and you're like, jackpot.
I'll just settle at 8.5 for like a view of Rick and Morty as a whole, but definitely a very memorable episode that I think when season 5's over, we'll come away with like, this will be the one episode probably that I'll remember the most.
I really liked it. I do think I honestly liked the turkey episode better. I was fucking dying.
The president's hilarious.
Dude, the president is so good. We've talked about it nonstop, but this episode, I'm gonna give an 8.25.
We're going quarters now.
Are we going quarters?
Yeah, we're going quarters.
IMDb does. It goes.
I guess that's true.
I'm gonna go 8.25. It's so hard to, like, if I had to order my favorite episodes, I 5 through 15 would just be impossible to order. Because they're all so good, it's hard to, you know, say which one stands out. But this one's up there, not top 5, but it's definitely top tier.
Well, we have how many total episodes of Rick and Morty? Like, 50-ish?
It's gonna be 50. Yeah.
Yeah. You think tens episodes that are tens are probably like 5 episodes get tens, like 5 to 8 episodes might get a 10.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in my top 8 episodes. but it's definitely flirting with it.
Yeah,
it'll dude, flirt with it.
It's hard.
Showing it a little shoulder, but it's not in there.
I said it last week. It's between this, the turkey, and episode one. If I just like, let's say I watch episode one right after this, I'll be like, oh, that was the best episode of the season. And then it's like, it's just recency bias. Yeah, this all depends. Like, I could easily see myself flirting with those three, but like, I just think this one might be my favorite of the season.
Yeah. This one, I mean, just had it all. I thought the plot was kind of all over the place, but still good enough to keep it going. And then
exactly
the like one-liner jokes, offhanded comments,
Jerry,
were really funny. The music was great. Yeah. The animation popped. I mean,
Jerry in the spotlight for some scenes.
Yeah. The action was good. I mean, I really, really liked it. Mm-hmm. All right. 8.75.
Hell yeah.
I was going to say, if we're doing quarters, I was going to split the 8.5 and 9. So I'm also going
to
do 8.
All right. I'll go up to 8.3.
Oh, we're doing thirds, 8.66.
Oh, 8.33. Yeah. But all right, that's going to do it for us, guys. If you like what you heard, our podcast also covers the brand new Loki series, Shadow and Bone, WandaVision, season 5 of The Magicians, Amazon's The Boys, The Haunting of Hill House, a lot of really, really good stuff. If you're on the World Wide Web, give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter and hit subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on our website, bingetowntv.com, if you want some merch. And keep an eye out for our brand new Patreon with a whole lot of bonus content coming out. We talk about anything and everything. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thank you so much for listening.
Love you guys.
Download Tribes of Midgard.
True.
Boop world. Boop world.
I was going to go with that one, but then I was like, Tribes of Midgard.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.